Healthy-ish is recorded live from Lankford Studios in Cedar Hill, Texas. Welcome to Healthy-ish, an educational podcast that navigates love, life, and everything in between. I'm your co-host, Prissy, and together I will be joined with Dr. Key, a relationship intelligence expert. Join us as we tackle some very controversial topics and stories. Due to some of the sensitive discussions regarding relationships and domestic violence, we advise listeners to use caution while listening.
How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Girl, I am good. Things going well with you?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Things are busy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. That I will say. Well, work-related stuff, but, you know, kid stuff is slow. What about you?
Same here. Same here. Just keeping busy. Got a lot of stuff, a lot of irons going. A lot of irons going, but we're good. Thank you for calling in, and let's go ahead and get started. Get back to your daily routine, you know.
Let's do it.
Going to change it up a little bit today and talk about the blues. There is a crooner out there. His name is Johnny Taylor. Okay, can you hear that?
I can.
Okay. Johnny Taylor is known, he's from the Dallas area, very well respected for his contribution to the blues genre in the music industry. And he had a phenomenal way of bringing light to color to a relationship and the different dynamics of it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're going through a relationship, we talked about this, you know, you don't necessarily know where to go for answers, right? So that's why our agency is in existence. Because we try to provide that light for relationships, you know, direction. You know, when you have a problem with a relationship, it's not uncommon for people to go to friends or family members or people that they can confide in. But oftentimes, those people don't really have as much information about the subject as they have. You know?
Right.
It's just really a listening ear. So it's really important that we know with things regarding relationships, parenting. It's important to have someone that's qualified, that's experienced, to give you some insight. And so in this particular instance, a lot of times we go to music, you know? And so Johnny Taylor is talking about having a relationship with someone and he needs to leave. But it's hard because there's too many memories. And it's killing him. It's killing him. And have you met people that feel like I need to leave too many memories, too many things we've done, too much we've accomplished to let go. So people hold on, you know?
Absolutely. And I think what I found is that they actually want those good times to return, because what's happened is those good times may have left. Mm-hmm. And so they want them to return. So they're holding on, waiting for it to come back.
Right. Right. So what is your opinion about that? Do you advise that?
Actually, I mean, it really just depends on what's going on in a relationship. Like, if the relationship is not going well, you have to ask yourself what those good things really were about, you know. You'd have to think about those things. Were they only in the beginning of the relationship, you know? Is this a situation where a person is blowing hot and cold and there's a lot of ups and downs or roller coasters? Sometimes it's good, and then sometimes when it's bad, it's awful, that kind of thing. And so you have to ask yourself, what am I experiencing? You know, is this up and down, this roller coaster, and is it healthy?
Right. Right, especially if it's abuse involved, right?
Exactly, right.
We certainly don't want to encourage anyone to stay in a relationship when they're being taken advantage or being abused, right?
Right, and sometimes when you're having that as well, that's all. If you're only experiencing that in the beginning of a relationship, a bunch of good times, right, and then it kind of goes away, you hanging around to see when they'll return, sometimes what that's about is, it's just a way to kind of bring you into the relationship. That's another thing right. that people kind of get trapped into, and they don't realize that. They're just kind of like, hey, you weren't like that when I met you. You right. know? And so that's some reflection that a person has to do on their own part to find out what exactly am I experiencing.
Right. Yeah. And what is this all about? Is it me? Is it
right.
You know, and you can especially look at prior relationships, you know, to get to this point and then I'm at a loss, you know, because you do have people that are in love with newness of a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And you do have people that have a tendency to take it for granted, people mm-hmm. that are loyal and that just stay, you know.
Right. It's true.
And so that's why, you know, it's very important that we talk about what we consider. I know I used to consider it corny stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You got to say, hey, at the beginning, I do not, you know, want to be taken for granted after we have been together for a while. You know, mm-hmm. the same things, what I desire in a relationship is that the same things you're doing for me now, you continue to do. You know, right. the older people used to say, whatever you start, you got to finish. You got to keep it up, you know. And of course, you know, people change, needs change. And so if I want more of something new, then obviously some things are going to be taken off, you know, off the list. You know, I'm not going to want you to do the same things at 17 that I want you to do at 30.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, there are going to be some things. So some communication is required, but in terms of being taken for granted or not appreciated or disrespected, I think those are common stays, you know. Those are things that we should establish with ourselves that we would keep there at all times and value, you know. When I've been told that when the respect is gone, the relationship is gone,
mm-hmm.
you know. When that respect value is out of there, you can forget it. And to men, respect is different. It looks a little different than it does to women. Did you know that?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Right.
The things that we interpret as respect, they just don't, it's not the same thing. So we try as women to try to give them the level of respect that we would like, that we want for ourselves as women. And then it doesn't somehow seem to get across the same way.
Right. Because to them, respect is appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So thank me for taking the trash out, cooking, cutting the yard, you know, being faithful, being honest, you know, because oftentimes we communicate things we want, but very seldom communicate the things that we do get, you know, appreciation for those things. And so, you know, I hear men commonly say, you know, just thank me for what you got. You always want more and more. I do this, you do, and then you want this, and I do this, and you want this. So it's never ending. I was even looking at some shirts the other day, and this girl says, "I am happy as AF, happy AF." And the guy's shirt says, "I'm broke AF, I'm broke as AF." In other words, you know, you got to keep her satisfied, and it's never ending is the implication, right?
Right.
And so, but people tend to think you can't please her because she's always wanting something. And then, of course, on the flip side, the woman is thinking that, and she's always nagging, right? And then, of course, the woman is always saying, you know, I'm communicating, I'm talking, it's not nagging, you know, I'm just saying what I want. And they're saying, in your communication, say thank you. Say I appreciate it, you know. Compliment me from time to time. Because that is actually one of the number one excuses for affairs. Because when a person is not value in a relationship and someone else starts to give that value to that person via a compliment or acts of service, you know, maybe a coworker compliment you on how you dress or how you smell or how you take care of your business, how good the food smells in the microwave. Oh, you must be a good cook, you know. I know your spouse ought to be happy. Those are subtle compliments that will tug at the heart, you know. And oftentimes people will start to, and I don't know if you and I shared this or not, but I always like to refer to this Fred, my little sociology project. He would tell this girl a compliment every Tuesday and Thursday at 12:30, and she knew she could count on that compliment. Now, initially, she would just, you know, shun him off. Oh, Fred. Just walk off. Oh, shut up, Fred. You're so crazy. Walk off. You know, he'd say something silly like, girl, you so fine. Girl, you so cute. Girl, let me drink your bath water. Let me run your bath. He would say something every Tuesday and Thursday after our 12:15 class was over. I mean, you know, after our class was over, it was 9:30 to 11 to 12:15. And so 12:30 we'd go and about mid-semester, I noticed that after he would make the compliment, she would smile and make a comment and walk away. But about mid-semester, I noticed that Fred didn't show up for class. That means that he didn't show up for us to sit in front of the cafeteria and socialize. And I saw her looking, and she was looking around as if she was looking for somebody. And sure enough, I know she was looking for that compliment that she could count on every Tuesday and Thursday, right? And so when we pass each other by in a relationship and we don't give each other that encouragement and someone else does, then it makes it really easy for them to fall prey to temptation. And the Bible even speaks of it, you know, don't make it easy for temptation. And so, yeah, respect is a big deal. And so when you talk about wanting to be in a relationship, I mean, you know, needing to leave a relationship and you're staying because you had too many good memories that you just hate to throw away. How would you describe that relationship at that moment?
a relationship that you need to throw away, even though you have ups and downs or good memories? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, man, she's trying to leave me, or he's trying to leave, but I just hate to throw it away. I mean, we've accomplished a lot. We have some good memories. I'd hate to throw it away.
I think there's just different perspectives also. You know, you, like you were mentioning earlier about the respect thing and how what is respect for women is not, maybe not the same respect for men. And even perspectives can be different. So while one person, I mean, if you're in a conflict in a relationship and one person wants to end it, another person doesn't, that's obviously because they hold two very different perspectives about the relationship. So one person might feel like, oh, this is just toxic. You know, it's just good and then it's just bad. And then this other person may feel like, well, that's just how relationships are, right? Good and bad. You know, so you, and then that might even, that person that more so sees the relationship as a, this is just how it is sometimes. This is just how relationships are, you know, it doesn't mean that it's not a good relationship. That person is not accepting the reality of the relationship sometimes. And so they may hold back, you know, doing some of the things that may kind of foster more of that positive relationship, or even maybe even keeping up that old behavior from the beginning. Right. Because they're kind of holding back, too, in a way, just because they think their relationship is fine. You know, so I mean, that's kind of a tough or sort of a tricky position to be in when you have two people who don't see the relationship from the same angle. And I imagine that happens a lot when relationships end. You have one person who's not necessarily ready for it to end, and you got another person who's just like, no, this is not. It's not good for me anymore, and I'm just kind of ready to move on. And another thing to consider is that, you know, not all relationships are meant to be permanent, you know. Some relationships are meant to just kind of be what they are for a period of time, and then you move on, you know. And so people don't ever really think about that, but it's okay sometimes for relationships to end because they run its course.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you that. Do you think that it's good to hold on to a relationship because you have those
memories? I don't think so. Right. I don't think so. I think that because a lot of even friendships have good memories, and then, you know, we're no longer maintaining those friendships anymore for a number of reasons, you know. I think that that's just makes it difficult for some people to let go, is when they have so many good memories.
And, you know, and when I read the book Untethered Souls, the author describes life as an opportunity to experience things, and your body is supposed to flow, your mind, your heart is supposed to flow through experiences, and they are not supposed, you're not supposed to become those experiences, right? So if I don't let them flow, those memories flow through me, and I become those memories, then I am stuck, right? And so that means something along the lines of, if I'm living in what we did in 1989, like 31 years ago today, yesterday was my graduation, high school graduation. And you have people that live along the lines of what they did in high school, college, you know, in their prime, you know, at what they would consider their prime. And some live in their misery. Of what they experienced, you know, and when they're younger. And the author of that book encourages an individual to not allow those things to stay there, but to flow through them to make them better, wiser, more equipped, I would say the word is more intentional about their life, you know? And so many of us don't do that. We become what we've been. He even encourages us to not have pictures up from when you were little, or, you know, your favorite picture. You should always replace pictures and upgrade pictures, as opposed to holding on to that old memory.
Now I don't have any pictures up from my childhood, but I had never really thought about it like that. And that brings up a good point.
Right. So with this crooner, he's just saying, you know, too many memories. And I'm thinking, okay, so if you feel that way, why not think about that before we allow this relationship to get to this place where one of us don't want to be there anymore? Mm-hmm. You know, why not think on those terms before we give it up? So mm-hmm. it leaves me to think somebody dropped the ball on what this was supposed to be about. And then now that we're ready to let it go, or we're proposing to let it go, now you're saying, you know, but no, you're going to let all that we've done go? Mm-hmm. And, you know, no, I didn't. You did. Mm-hmm. and people will do that. They will throw the guilt at you about the distance that we're having to create. But in truth, it's not the decision of the person that is dealing with the decision. It's the person that created the situation for the decision. Does that make sense? Right. So it's not the person that's having to say, you know, this is not going to work, mm-hmm. But the person that has created that situation for me to say it won't work. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Because I deal with clients a lot that deal with loyal people, mm-hmm. you know, people that are loyal to a fault. They feel like the person is addicted to drugs or have made a series of bad decisions that were hurtful. And somehow the other person will have the audacity to say, you just going to leave me like that? It's like, hey, you created this. Mm-hmm. How are you going to put that on me?
Right.
You know, you created this environment, making it a no-brainer. I mean, what other option do I have? So now I'm feeling guilty because I'm having to do what is right for me, you know. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Memories are just what they are. Mm-hmm. They're great, but they are memories. Mm-hmm. And there are seasons for them. Mm-hmm. They'll always be there. Mm-hmm. They're to be cherished. They mean something, but it's not to hold you back.
Right.
A memory is not to keep you from moving forward.
I have an aunt right now. She was married for 30 years. And she mm-hmm. has not remarried. So she divorced her and her husband. They divorced. Maybe it's been 14 years now, I would say. Something like that. 15, maybe a little longer. And she mm-hmm. just, you know, I've tried to talk to her about moving on and moving forward and establishing a new relationship. And she just always felt like she wasn't ready for it. And I guess the reason why is because holding on to some like feelings of what could have been, and then also being somewhat not fully moved on from a traumatizing experience, you know, about things just not working out the way that you had hoped that they would. And so mm-hmm. I had a conversation with her about it recently, because I'm always advocating for her to go back out there again, you know. And I told mm-hmm. her, I was giving mm-hmm. her this analogy about how if somebody almost drowns, you know, in the water, you know, most of the time you see that they got back into the water the next day, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you kind of have to look at it as being able to move forward from those experiences, because forever mm-hmm. is a long time. And, you know, maybe that's yeah. not Ooh. The relationship that God had planned for you. You know, 30 years, mm-hmm. you think about it, you still have a lot more life left to go after 30 years, no matter how old you are.
True.
So mm-hmm. do you just stay hung up over that? You know, and a lot of people get into this debate over people getting into new relationships after being married and or in long relationships mm-hmm. for a long time. But we never really consider the fact that that could also be healthy in some ways. You know, just unless you have a pattern. I'm not talking about if you have a pattern doing that, but in order to move on, right, to start that healing process and to move forward and putting yourself in another position, right? And so it kind of breaks my heart that she stayed that many years, you know, kind of, because it's almost like representation of just being stuck, you know, mm-hmm. and not really being mm-hmm. able to get over something, you know. And I've known a lot of women in their middle ages and older that have done that, long married for long times and just real bitter about what could have been. And so because of that, they hold on to that. They're never really fully able to move forward, you know? So I think that that's what brings to mind when we're having this discussion.
Absolutely. And, you know, people were taught to stay. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. marriage is really for the long yeah. haul, the good and the mm-hmm. bad. But it speaks to what we talked about a minute ago. What is the reason for us having to leave? You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to, if I stay 30 years, I'm not leaving just because mm-hmm. I'm unhappy. Right. You know, there has to be something there mm-hmm. To make me want to say, this has gone too far. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm losing my self-respect, mm-hmm. my dignity, my safety, mm-hmm. my sound mind, you know. And so you do these things and you don't, you know, you do think about, hey, we've raised 5 children, you know, we've overcome these obstacles, but do those things keep you
right.
If your life is at stake or your sanity is at stake, you know? And I'm saying I don't recommend it because now, you know, we're domestic violence facilitators. And ultimately, my answer is domestic violence is the root to a lot of the problems we have in our society. Mm-hmm. When you're raised in a home where there's not love, which is supposed to be the foundation of every relationship, and people are doing things other than loving each other, it can be very confusing to children. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if they're abusing one another, that could definitely be difficult. It has even been known to be a symptomatic reason for schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. And not only that, so it also begets violence, mm-hmm. right? And so it deals with self-worth, low competency, insecurities. It breeds a whole lot of negativity that basically is unleashed into our society. And so bullying takes place. A lot of that goes on in our schools because people and children have seen it at mm-hmm. home. Children will see mistreat each other as siblings, mm-hmm. you know, sibling abuse is the number one abuse. Last I checked on this in statistics, you know, it's more common for siblings to rival than it is for them to get mm-hmm. along. If you see two siblings that are harmonious all the time, you're more like, oh, they get along good. You mm-hmm. know, people are surprised. Right. But when they marry someone that treats them the way their sibling treat them, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So we live in this world of contradictions, and even the same sibling that would do that to that person, would actually, take issue with the spouse that would abuse the sibling, mm-hmm. you know? So, again, that's that case where I can take advantage of you, but nobody else can.
Right.
You know, I'm your sibling and we're family. Mm-hmm. So I can do that, but I wouldn't dare do that to a stranger. I wouldn't dare do that to someone right. I just met. Mm-hmm. So I'm nicer to someone, a stranger, than I am to someone that I'm supposed to love.
And that's the issue there of control too. I mean, we kind of getting into another area, mm-hmm. but when you say that, mm-hmm. that does show how a person knows how and where to apply that pressure, you know? Just like I think you and I had discussed before that, you know, some men that get into physical altercations with women, they may not get into physical altercations with men, you know, but then I've right. also read that there mm-hmm. are some men that just, they get into physical altercations with anybody, you know, so, you know,
oh, yeah.
so it's so, oh, it's yeah. like not really, it doesn't always seem to be a rhyme or reason. You know, I guess some people are just, they handle conflict in that manner just in general.
So, you know, because there's a classic abuser, mm-hmm. which is the person that would not fight mm-hmm. an average person. And then there's and that's the person that wanting to control mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. spouse. But then there are so many other reasons for battering in a relationship, and it's not always the classic abuser. Right. It may be, you know, the sibling. That's the way we grew up. We were aggressive toward each other. Maybe trauma, mm-hmm. some things that they encountered, and just angry, all out mm-hmm. angry. Everybody gets mm-hmm. some, you know. So that's why you can't. It's not one way of describing how a person gets to that place.
And the way you describe it is really fascinating when we're talking about siblings and how then you kind of get into relationships and then you're, before you know, you're kind of doing the same kind of like wrestling or whatever with your significant other. Because I can recall mm-hmm. I went out with a bunch of friends and one of them, she brought her boyfriend. We were all adults. And, you know, I can recall that they were getting into some sort of altercation, like play fighting. But it was serious, mm-hmm. though, at the same mm-hmm. time. And I just kept thinking mm-hmm. how strange it was. And nobody really intervened, you know, but it was like he would mm-hmm. not let her not get away with hitting him. Like if she pushed him, he mm-hmm. had to push her back. Like it just wasn't going to. But mm-hmm. they did it in such a way that it was playful. And I just remember thinking how strange it was to see these two adults mm-hmm. kind of carry on that way. And then it almost mm-hmm. seemed like it was like they thought it was funny, but you know, it couldn't be funny. And that just kind of, that's exactly what it reminded me of. Just as now, as you said, it's just like this whole, it has to start with something like siblings in a way. And then they kind of mm-hmm. carry on out that behavior because that was odd. And nobody, like I said, nobody intervened. And maybe, like I said, because there was this element of it being kind of funny or amusing in a way, you know. But I just mm-hmm. remember thinking how strange it was being the first time that I had seen it from my own two eyes, the way that it was out in public amongst people.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, you know, and a lot of people haven't transitioned into a place where they're able to lay that down, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. they're able to transition out of that, mm-hmm. you know, and it's unfortunate because it's like you're absolutely right. Mixed emotions. We're too old for this. This is embarrassing. Mm-hmm. How do we come out of this without it being a disaster? Mm-hmm. You know, so we're smiling like we're playing, but neither one of us want to stop.
Right.
You know, let you know. So which one of us going to stop? Right. You know.
that's. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's like an immaturity thing, or what do you think that's about?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, the rival is real. Mm-hmm. It started in Cain and Abel. Mm-hmm. It's the Bible. And the competition is there. And it depends on how well it was maintained or not maintained and how well the tone was set as a family. Mm-hmm. And so many, I think, have a problem with it if the parents didn't set a tone for it. I think that at some point they have to come to a realization that, you know, we're too old for this. Somebody has to say something, mm-hmm. you know, to them and make them think, you know, that was embarrassing. Or they may even team up against the person that says it, you know. But looking back in retrespect, saying to themselves, yeah, we can't do
right.
that. Because you know, they may say face with each other and say, I know she did. Why she don't mind her own business? Mm-hmm. But then say, well, we got to stop.
Right.
Because, you know, that was unnecessary. But yeah, to a fault, people are competitive like that. And, you know, those memories. But yeah, we do have to do better in terms of educating ourselves on this because, can't you see how confused people could be mm-hmm. with regard to who I should marry? Mm-hmm. Even when I used to, you know, I grew up hearing love everybody, you know, and so when I'm loving everybody and then I'm my brothers, I love them. They love me. There was no question about that. But when they would walk through the living room, they would step on my back with their size 13 Converse Chuck Taylor tennis shoes mm-hmm. on, and I was maybe 10, 11, and they thought that was so funny, mm-hmm. you know. But if someone else were to do it, I don't know that they would have found it to be as funny, you mm-hmm. know. So these are the things that they think they're making me tough, you know, teaching you to be tough. But yeah, so we just kind of have to do more in terms of communicating those things. I don't think as a family, I don't think we even have family meetings like we should to talk about certain things, to kind of put it out there so people can dialogue on it. People don't know how long is too long. What do you put up with in a relationship? Well, mama put up with this. I think Mary J. said mama would have stayed, you know. But we have to talk about those things, because when your life, your sanity, your livelihood is at stake, you have to make some changes. And even before then, you make changes. I'm not suggesting you leave, but you definitely make changes. You talk, you reach out to an expert, you do all you can to fight for the marriage, but it takes two, you know?
So what about if, you know, you're in a relationship with somebody, you're married, maybe you've been dating for a long period of time, and then that other person just wants to abruptly end a relationship. And, you know, maybe it's not a perfect relationship, but they just, it's kind of abrupt in a sense, right? And that person just doesn't want to go through any sort of expert, you know, or I guess consultation with a therapist, or they don't want to go through any sort of get any kind of advice to work it out. They just want to end it. Okay. What advice do you have? What do you do then? And how do you figure out or sort that out?
Right. So my thought is, and this is just, I mean, you know, there's a lot to support it. We live in a society of economy based on supply and demand, right? The more you have of something, the less you value it. So off the top, if I'm going to try and convince you to stay with something that you don't want, I am working against the demand. The supply does not, the demand does not want that supply. Nobody wants what is that's the easily accessible, easily available, what nobody else wants kind of thing. So even if there's a mistake, even if the other person feels like they want the relationship, I just have to say, now, of course, no, there are no absolutes. There are exceptions to every rule. We always say that. But now, if I have done something wrong and my husband says, you know what, I'm out of here. And I'm thinking, where is the family commitment? You out just because of that? Now, it depends on how many times this happened and what it is that I've done. I can understand him wanting to leave now if it's that bad. But I am going to encourage him to stay and let's work it out through counseling if we haven't tried that, or work it out through some other method. But I will not beg or force myself on anyone ever. Because the demand should be fitting the supply, and the supply should feed the demand. And so I am at a deficit. I'm at a disadvantage if I am trying to force this supply on them. I put it this way. I can have the best advice in the world. Have you ever tried to tell your children something and they're like, not trying to hear it? You're right. Like, I'm trying to tell you.
I can't believe they won't accept this.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you? And it's the best thing for them, but they just not trying to hear.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm going to tell you, that's the problem with parenting. That's the problem with parenting. We try to force and stuff our way and will on our children. And I, you know, listen, I am a very engaged parent, and I know how hard it is not to be overly protective and overly assertive in their lives. But I have proof that it is more to our advantage to allow them to experience things and come to us than to force our way on every decision they make. Because they want it. And if they want it and mm-hmm. they seek it, they're more likely to value it.
Right.
So the best advice to anyone, they would, could be just nasty. I'll even use the analogy of your favorite dish. What's your favorite dish? Mm-hmm. You're a foodie. So what's your favorite dish?
Mm-hmm. Oh, pizza.
Pizza. Okay. Pizza stuffed down your throat. Come on, eat this.
Mm-hmm. Right. No.
No, seriously, you love pizza. You told me you love
pizza. Now when you forcing it down my throat.
No, come on. You get what I'm saying? It could be the best meal. But right. I don't want it for. So when people want to do something different, you have to respect that. Because when you don't respect that, it's not valued. So that's
I got a thing. Oh, go ahead and finish. And I was gonna bring this.
Okay,
story
so
in.
That's why Christ and it goes back to spirituality. Christ doesn't force his way on us. He gave us life, health, strength, and a mind to make decisions. He gives us choice. And you know, it's pretty fascinating for me that he does that, because I'm thinking, how is it that I want to tell some, make somebody do something, and I haven't done half the things that he's done for them, and that I, and, but I'm going to make them do what I want them to do. And he doesn't even, if he don't make you do what he wants you to do. So,
Yeah. And you know, I was, to that, I was reflecting on, in my very early 20s, I was in a relationship with another guy, and one thing that we had, and this is the reason why I asked you about it, is because we had this kind of relationship where he would kind of abruptly want to end a relationship like every month or two. And so, you know, obviously once that relationship was done for good, I look back on those, on those things, and those were actually warning signs of something else, you know, because it wasn't so much that I wasn't doing my part in a relationship, but it was more so isolated to some type of control or some other type of issue. Cause he would always say he never really wanted the relationship to end, but it was the only way he could get some kind of reaction from me. And he was honest enough to tell me that, girl. So I guess what I'm saying, I guess what I'm trying to say is that, what I was asking you was if a woman or even a man is in a relationship, because I mean, I would imagine that women could pull that same cord, because it's like somebody's yanking your chain in a way, you know, and so they could want to end that relationship because for whatever reasons in an abrupt way to gain some kind of power in a relationship, you know, and then all could be fine for a little bit. And every time that person, they feel like that person is slipping up, so to speak, then they kind of, that's when they start kind of that little dance continues in a way. So I think that's kind of interesting to kind of put that out there. I don't know if anybody has that experience or that where it's cyclical, where that person is constantly using it as a tool, you know, to kind of gain some leverage in that relationship, where it's kind of like abruptly, you know, it's an abrupt thing. Because for me, it would have been an abrupt thing. It would just come out of nowhere. You know, it could also come up in the middle of a disagreement, like you were mentioning. You're going to leave over that, you know, that kind of thing. You know, it would be stuff like that, and it would just be really ridiculous, you know. And so, I mean, I don't know how that occurs in other people's relationships, if that's ever occurred. But for me, that was more so like signs of abuse, of an abusive person or someone trying to get control, you know. And at the time, I had no idea what I was going through. You know, I think I thought kind of like how you were saying was that maybe I was doing something that I was wrong, you know, because that's the way how you interpret it, you know. Because it's just all of a sudden, if it's something that's so abrupt and you think things are going okay. So there's like so many different angles when it comes to perspectives and what's really going on in people's relationships, because people have all these different degrees, you know. So that was one thing. And then, you know, another thing is that I caught this on Judge Lynn Toler, her divorce court show. And she was talking to a man and woman, and the woman was saying, like, she couldn't really understand why her man was trying to leave her, because she said she felt like she did everything for him. And the judge was saying, you know, not just because you do something for, quote unquote, for him, or whatever that is, does that mean he can't leave you, you know, that he's now indebted to you. So I think that's also important to put in there, too. Because some people do think that I'm doing everything for him, you know. I'm taking care of him. I was with him when he didn't have nothing. Ooh-wee. You know, all of that, this come up thing. And they kind of just forget the fact that he does not have any obligation to stay with you just because you held him down, you know. And, you know, and I think that, like I said, it's like that return on investment. Like, listen, I invested in you when you had nothing. Now it's time for you to show me. And we get into that a lot. And I hear a lot of women. I can't tell you how many women I know that have experienced that and just are cannot imagine why a man would want to leave them after all they've done. So, you know, I thought that was worth mentioning too. Like, yay, you know, male or female, you have every right to leave that relationship no matter what. And it's not a reason for somebody to be indebted towards you. And no one should be indebted towards you, you know, when you think about it, you know. That's not a healthy foundation anyway,
at all.
You know?
At all.
So yeah. So I had just
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I deal with that on a daily basis. You know, people are devastated. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell you, we talk about why you should not date and build. So it's good to help people, but it's not good to help people and build a relationship, because you don't know what that person's relationship and intent is with you. You don't know. And so it will be temporary. It will. I can't say it will be. It may be, because you don't know what it's built on. And I mean, I've told people, and of course, you know, supply and demand, you got, there are people that'll be like, oh, we'll see about that. Okay. You know, try it. Prove me wrong. I want you to be right. But the reality is, you know, we do that. We do that with, because we in America, we live on a, especially in America, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You help me, I help you. You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you, you know, I'd be damned if I help you and then when I need you, you don't help me. I'm not going to continue to put into that pot because that pot is not there for me.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't encourage that. I would not. Now, I will help other people, but I'm not doing it for you to help me. And this is, I actually have met people to say, people don't owe me nothing, so I can give to them and they don't have to give me anything back. I don't encourage that. You should be with people that are as invested in you as you are with them. And it shouldn't be tit for tat, but definitely should not be one-sided. There's an old song, I found love on a two-way street. It should never be one way. You know, children are most one-sided relationship you'll ever have with love, you know? That's it. You can't handle much more than that, you know? So, when you brought up a one element that made that situation dysfunctional, and that was no reason. He just, you'd be like, what did I do? Oh, anytime you have to say, what did I do? When you were asking me that, I knew I did something for you to want to leave me. I did something bad. But if I don't even know or I didn't do anything and you made up something, you want to leave anyway. So I'm saying bye.
Right.
I'm not asking, begging. Right. If you do that, you may want to do that, but when you do that, you lose value. The person does not want you.
You're diminishing your self-worth.
Person doesn't want you.
Exactly.
So you have to say goodbye. And then they'll be like, damn, I thought she was going to at least want me to, what? Wait, did she have something? But you got somebody else? But if you don't want to be here, baby, I don't want you here. You know, and that's I think that you hit a great point too by saying, if people are not meant to be in our lives forever, someone said it this way, people are meant to be in your life for a season or a reason. You know, sometimes it's not always. You go to the second floor with me, some go to the sixth floor, some go to the 39th floor, you know, and come back down mm-hmm. with me. But we are trying to determine those things, and we are out of our league with that.
Mm-hmm.
We're out of our league with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've seen mm-hmm. people crash and burn because they don't know how to let go.
Mm-hmm.
You can, if the other person right. is deciding to crash and burn, you have a decision to make. Am I going to crash and burn with them, or am I going to get out the car and let them go? And, you know, I have to right. tell you, Chrissy, there are a lot of people that's crashing and burning with them. I've never seen such, honestly,
mm-hmm.
where people are like, but I love him. I love my dad. And he's in the grave, but I'm not in the yeah. grave. I wanted to, mm-hmm. but I came to myself. Right. I had to finish the race just like he had to finish the race when his dad died, you know? So mm-hmm. I can't fold mm-hmm. and because it wasn't my time yet. So you can't just fold. The sun doesn't rise and set on another person. If God has allowed them to leave your life, you have to accept that and look for whatever is next, you know. You have to do that to yourself.
Right.
And I know, trust me, I know it can be devastating, but you got to look. That's why you don't put your
mm-hmm.
everything on a person. It should be on your creator.
Mm-hmm.
It should be
right.
You can't do that even with your children. You can't put your everything on any person. Your faith should be in God. He could make a stranger come and give you what you need, you know. I was talking mm-hmm. the other I posted yesterday, 31 years ago I graduated high school, and I literally said, I mean, you know, I didn't consider myself to be arrogant, cocky, or picky or anything like that. But I just said, hey, I love helping people. I want to help people. And I just don't want to teach. And sure enough, mm-hmm. my grandmother would ask me every time I went in to her house to visit, how you doing? I'm good. You teaching yet? And so that was 20 something years. That was like 25 years ago, maybe 24 years ago. So she was maybe 70-ish, like almost 80 at that time. And she was like, I would say no. And I was like, I'm a criminal justice major. I'm not going to teach. And I leave and I go back maybe 6 weeks later. And hey, for Christmas, how you doing? Hey, you teaching yet? And I thought, for sure, this lady is losing it. Madea, I'm not going to be a teacher. I'm not going to teach. That was that was the only thing I said I was not going to do. And so what we do mm-hmm. is we, and this is just experience and wisdom here. What we do is we say what we desire to do in life, and that was helping people. Now mm-hmm. what we do need to get out of the business mm-hmm. of is telling God how we're going to do it, because he knows how mm-hmm. to best position us. And so as fate would have it, he allowed me to do what I thought I wanted to do, was be a juvenile probation officer. And after dealing with all that work, paperwork, you know, court documents, and being humiliated by a judge, and then losing three of my probationers in like a couple of, in a week's time, one to suicide, one to mm-hmm. a car accident, and another one ran away.
Mm-hmm.
I was done. I was like, this is not how I expected mm-hmm. this to be. And so I started my nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And in the process of starting my nonprofit, I started substitute teaching, which is what I did all the time, you know, in between gigs. And in substitute teaching at my home school, my school I graduated from, I had always drove by this beautiful school and said, I'm going to work there one day. That's how, but I was going to be, I thought, a community liaison. I'm going to be a community liaison there. That's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. So I go back there to work as a substitute teacher. And when I went there, they offered me an opportunity to be a teacher as a criminal justice instructor. And because my one of my former teachers was retiring, and she just said, hey, listen, you work from 9 to 12. Your interns come in at 12 and leave and go to work. You are off the rest of the day. And I was like, huh? So pretty much the first couple of years I did the senior class. They taught, they took forensics. But from the 19 years that I taught there, most of my classes ended at 12:30. And I loved it. I loved it. So the thing is, I learned then that I almost missed out on the best opportunity in my life. I helped a lot of young people. And I learned that most young people that go to juvenile, most young people that go to jail, prison, CPS, they're all in school before they get there. And so if you can help them at the earliest level possible, which is school, prevent it, then you've helped them the best, you know. And so I just want to encourage people to not necessarily try to tell God how to do what they want. Just ask him, you know, petition him on what they like to see or do, and allow him to guide them on how to do it. Because it has been a very rewarding experience for me. I have had an opportunity to love on a lot of children, encourage a lot of children, take pride in their success, which is most rewarding. I'm not going to have that many children. So to have that many out there doing well and thank me for their helping them succeed, it's just as rewarding as having them, you know? And so that is, that can go, I mean, that advice, it spills over into relationships, parenting, professionalism. It can be applied in every area of our lives. Please stay in your lane. Just make your petition known to God, and allow him to make those things possible. Don't get in the business of trying to control or keep somebody that's not meant to stay. Holding on to the past. I'll close with this. When you have people that have been in prison for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, they have memories in there too. You don't want them to stay in there because they have memories in there, you know? So we don't hold on to dead things because of the memories. If you want a tree to sprout and be its best, you prune it the first year. If you want hair to grow and be its best, you cut the dead ends off. If you want anything to do well and prosper, you let go of what is not benefiting you. And so I want to encourage everyone to do that and not be afraid to allow your experiences, your memories to flow through you to make you better, more appreciative, more intentional, but definitely not stop you from being your personal best.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Dr. Key, let us know how we can reach you.
By all means, contact us. You can reach us at langfordavenue@yahoo.com via email. You can even give us a call. We provide life coaching lessons, 214-870-4129 for a nominal fee. We help with life success coaching. It is confidential. I am a licensed life coach. And we help you with all areas of your life to help you achieve and arrive at your personal best with Lakeford Avenue. All right. Thank you for tuning in. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, co-host. Thank you, everyone.
It's Christy. Till next.
We'd like to send a special thanks to our supporters and for those listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating or review on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or Spotify. Have yourself a great day and be sure to join us next time on Healthy-ish. Healthy-ish is proudly supported by Langford Avenue and the Avenue Proactive Resource Center. For more information, visit our website at www.enddomesticviolenceindallas.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.